Hey guys, it's Nikki
and Heather
and Janaya.
We have a special one.
Look at that smile.
Hi to everyone.
I did.
Say hi.
Hi.
Say hi, podcast world.
Hi, podcast world.
Now you can go eat dinner.
I love you.
She kept waiting. She's like, can we record now so I can go eat? And I'm like, well, not ready yet. And she's like, well, can I go eat? And I'm like, well, yeah, but then you won't be down here to say hi. She's like, okay, is it time yet?
It was taking too long.
Yeah, she's so funny. Hey guys, so we're back.
We are back again.
We are Zooming today because Heather got a big girl job and she's tired. She's back in the real world, y'all.
No, yep.
But how do you like it though?
I love it. Love it, love it, love it, love it, love it.
Awesome. That's awesome. Awesome. It's not, how far is it from your house?
Right at an hour.
Damn, an hour?
Mm-hmm.
Oh boy, that's a long drive.
Yeah. That's my me time.
You always do them long drives, girl. I don't know how you do that.
Girl, you can't make no money out here. I gotta go somewhere.
Ooh, they
want to pay $6 an hour. No.
Hey, you can go to Target and make $24 right now.
We ain't got no Target.
My ex-coworker hit me up and was like, hey, you know you can go work at Target, right? I'm like, I've been thinking about it. 24?
It's really 24 an hour at Target?
Yeah. I told him, I said, shit, it's a pay cut, but it's also less stress.
Is cashier 24?
I don't know, but I saw a thing that said the new minimum wage at Target was 24.
Damn.
Yeah. So you driving an hour, go to Target. Right. Man. Look at, I see the wheel turning.
I don't like people that much.
I don't like retail.
Mm-mm. Right. That no. They be taking me out in cuffs.
No, sir. Yes. Especially nowadays. Mm-mm. Customer ain't always right, motherfucker.
Right. I did retail at 7-Eleven for how long? Nope. Mm-mm. No. Mm-mm.
I don't want to fold no clothes. I don't even like folding my own clothes. No. Nope.
Right?
But anyway, well, I'm excited that you love your new job. You got your chicken coop up.
I do.
And she has, y'all, she's so bougie. She got cameras inside her chicken coop. Not on the outside, inside this motherfucker.
I don't give a fuck what's going on outside. I want to see what's inside. I get on there every night. I tell my babies, good night, baby chickens.
Oh, my God.
I look at them every morning when I get up.
I cannot.
And when the sun comes up, right before I leave for work, I go outside. I let them out. Huh? No, I don't know yet. How old are these damn chickens? They are. What is today? They will be 13 weeks on Friday. So I won't know if I have a rooster for a while.
What?
I mean, I could probably, yeah. I don't think I do because the breeds that I got are all, you can pretty much tell at birth if they're female or male. And I think they're all female.
Oh, we got to get a rooster. I mean, cock-a-doodle-doo.
I know, right?
You. I'm going to get a phone call. This motherfucker won't show.
Scott's like, you ain't getting no rooster. Bet. He's like, on the days that I actually get to sleep in, I don't want to be hearing no rooster. I said, you don't hear shit anyway. We could have a tornado go through the living room, bitch, and you don't wake up.
Right.
And you and a bitch about a rooster.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
I get a rooster.
Well, shit, ain't nothing really new in my life. School, life, work, kids. Chaos, you know, what is it? Chaos of three plus me. So here we are.
Look at you plugging your other.
I know, right? I haven't written in so long. Gosh, I haven't. But so today's case, Heather already informed me that she does not like this case.
This case just pisses me off.
It pisses her off.
So much that I didn't even do a fucking comfy fact because I just didn't know what to do it on. I was too damn mad.
Damn, I wish if I'd have known, if we'd have communicated a little better, I'd have brought my book down. I had a fun one that I meant to write down, and I forgot. But I got my criminology book, and it's so fun.
Yeah. Ooh.
I know, I'm so excited to read it. And it's got a bunch of fun facts in it, so I'm going to write
all. Did you pass the class?
Bitch, yo bitch got a straight A.
Woo!
100%. Yes, bitch. I was so worried about this class. I was like, I hate this class. This class is awful. But I told my mom, my sister, I said, the only thing that got me through this class is I can write my ass off. Because I can write, that's the only reason I passed. Because she was like, I love reading your writing. I'm like, mm-hmm. Bullshit in my entire way. Girl, Heather, let me tell you, I had to write a fucking, real quick before we get back into the case, I had to write an 8-page fucking essay, right? Ugh. And I'm like, I'm racking my brain and I cannot figure this out. Stacy's sitting there. She's like, just bullshit, just add. I'm like, I'm ad-libbing as much as I can. And I said something and Adam started rapping an Eminem line. And I was like, okay. Hold on. I literally put the line in there, the rap. And he was like, no, you're not. Or Stacey was like, no, you're not. I'm like, yes, the fuck I am. Adam like sat right there and reiterated all of it to me. I put that whole bitch in there just so I could try to make 8 lines.
Oh, Jesus.
It was hilarious. But anyway, yeah, I passed it. So on to the next.
Go. Someone needs to give her some moolah for her A.
I know.
Mama.
Mom. Felina.
Felina, okay.
All right. So today's case is going to take us to South Central Correction Center in Licking, Missouri.
I know exactly where that is. That's down the street from my friend's house.
Yeah. So inmate number 990130. And I really like that we started putting that inmate thing in there.
I know, right? Now we're going to have to make sure we have the fucking inmate number. Forever.
I know. I have to remember to, I want to remember to do that because all the things and shit you watch, like that's truly their identity. Like everything you ever watch about, you know, prison shows and everything, like that becomes their identity. These people literally say they remember these numbers the rest of their life. Cause they're inmate.
It's like our lunch code. Remember? Yeah. I don't know. Like,
it literally becomes that they don't have names there. They're known as
they do, but
but they're known by their inmate number. Anyway, so inmate 990130, Brandon Hutchinson. Brandon was born 1974 in Ventura, California. He lived out in California till he was about 18 or 19. It does state, or well, he states that there was some sexual abuse during his childhood. He's not really sure when it started, but he goes on to say that he can remember going to see doctors around kindergarten because of his behavior. So I'm assuming he was probably acting out unbeknownst to him and a lot of the shit that was being done to him.
Right.
It goes on to say that growing up, he basically, he got pretty heavy into drugs around the age of 15, pretty heavy into methamphetamines, alcohol, weed. But he goes on to say that the methamphetamines were pretty much his drugs of choice. He ended up meeting a woman named Michelle at the age of 15, where he was selling selling weed to somebody in a hotel room, and I guess she was there, they were all partying, whatever. They obviously caught the attention of one another quite quickly, because about 9 months later she was pregnant and having his son. they ended up having two kids. Throughout the years they dated on and off till he was about 17. Now he was in California, like I said, till he was about 18 or 19. She goes on to say, though, that they had kind of lost touch when he was in California because of his drug use. And she just didn't want it around the boys and everything. So they kind of lost touch while he was in California. And around this time, he ended up moving to Mount Vernon, Missouri. He basically moved to Missouri thinking that, he was going to have a better life, which was kind of weird to me, though, because he moved to Missouri and then, like, went to go live with his cousin and stuff. But then his cousin's husband was, as we get deeper into this, a totally different person. So how you didn't know this,
right,
when you were moving from California to Missouri, like, you didn't know what you were moving into. I have a hard time believing that.
Mm-hmm.
But anywho, so he moved out here to Mount Vernon, Missouri. And that's ultimately what brings us to our Missouri case. He moved in with his cousin and her husband, Freddie Lopez. They lived in a house that right next door, Freddie had like an auto shop, an auto body shop, basically a detail shop. That's what I'm trying to say. Right next door. He goes on to say that it basically was just a drug front. Freddie was a big drug dealer, and it was basically just a front. So he goes on, though, to say that he ended up working for Freddie for a while. But basically not necessarily, it doesn't say like he was working as Freddie as like a dealer. He was working in the shop. And then apparently he was still using at the time. So his addiction just began to kind of take over again. shit, I forgot something to drink. Damn. Anyway, so he ended up suggesting that they start selling
some of my Saudi.
Yes, let me get some.
I'll pass it through the screen.
Through the pooter. You gonna pass it to me through the pooter? I had a little girl on my heels following me.
Doesn't Dora go through the computer? Who went through the computer? What cartoon was that?
I don't know. Blue's Clues used to jump into those paintings. I don't know about a computer, though.
Maybe that's what it was. Maybe it was Steve in Blue.
Yeah. Blue's Clues went through that phase. Anyway, so he suggested they start selling methamphetamines. It was more money in it, obviously. They made more money off selling them. And it ultimately ended up taking off. Through this process of him being with Freddie and the whole business and everything, he had met Michael. I don't know how to say his name. Salazar.
Salazar, yeah, something like that.
He ended up meeting Michael through Freddie. And Michael also came from Cali. But it said that he had like gang ties to California. And I don't know why he came to Missouri, but he came to Missouri and was basically like Freddie's right hand. Like he said, he watched out for Freddie. He worked for Freddie. They basically described Freddie as like the ringleader to I mean his business. He was a drug guy, so I guess in a lighter sense, a drug lord, but the way they say it versus the way it plays out, like, I feel like he was too much of a pansy to be a real drug lord after the way things kind of played out. But anyway, on December 31st, 1995, Freddie had thrown a New Year's party at his shop. You know, obviously they're drinking, partying, drugs, whatever. This brings us into the introduction of our victims, Brian and Ronald Yates. They were brothers. They had went to Freddie's house the night of New Year's to party. Later goes on to say that they were purchasing drugs, that they even owed Freddie some money, and it was probably quite a bit of money. But that's ultimately what brought the brothers there that night. And like I said, you know, they're all partying, whatever. And Brandon, Brian, and Ronald were all hanging out in the garage, playing dominoes. And I guess apparently the brothers started talking about Freddie and Michael, calling them racial slurs and just basically talking shit about them. So Brandon decided to go tell Michael. Now these are Brandon's story of events. He states that this happened. He went to go tell Michael about what they were saying. He says that Michael got really upset and he basically just went into the shop and started shooting. He ended up shooting Brian first and then Ronald. Ronald, however, did not drop instantly. He took a little while to drop to the ground, which I don't know if he wasn't fully hit or what it was. But however, this caused Michael to then grab a screwdriver and start stabbing Ronald. At this point, Ronald is now on the ground. He's still continuing to fight for his life and crawling, trying to lift the garage door, basically still just trying to fight for his life. As he's trying to crawl for the garage door, though, Brandon claims that he went over and physically grabbed him and pulled him away from the door so that he couldn't escape. So at this point, things have kind of escalated rather quickly.
Right.
And ultimately, it started out, you know, as Michael being the one that was clearly in the wrong of the situation. Brandon going over and grabbing him and pulling him away, it just kind of, I don't know, it makes me feel a little less likely for the pity party of him later. Because, I mean, you went over there and pulled him away for what?
Like, was it Brandon that did it or was it Freddie that did it?
No, it was Brandon that did it. At that point, Freddie was apparently...
I mean, was it Michael that did it or Freddie that did it?
That did what?
That did the shooting.
It was Michael that did the shooting inside the garage. Or inside the shop. And apparently Freddie was in the house, so he did not yet know what was going on. Brandon proceeded to go to the house after the situation happened, told Freddie to come outside, you know, something happened, blah, blah, blah. So they all go back over to the garage. At this point, it said... somebody suggested they call an ambulance, but nobody knows who it was that said it. But then at the end, I think it was said that Freddie said it, which was...
Right. Well, that's what Freddie's ex-wife said.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's right. That's what it was.
And supposedly someone said it, and Brandon was like, oh, they're dead. They're dead or they're dying anyway. So, you know, pretty much what's the point? Supposedly that's what.
Yeah, yeah. So
who knows?
She claims that she had also went out there.
And that is her cousin.
Yeah. Yeah. And she claims that she had went out there after she had, you know, knew that something was happening and that there's a crack in the back or gap in the back of the garage door. And she peeked through and she just kind of heard and seen all of this unfold as far as the guys all talking about what to do next. It goes on to say that Freddie basically told him to go get the car, pull it around the back of the shop, and load the brothers into the trunk. So here's the thing though, at this point, both brothers are still alive.
Yeah.
So they proceed to shove them in the back of the trunk, and drive down, you know, some back roads or whatever. When all of a sudden they hear some noises from the trunk, they decide to pull over. At this point, Brandon says that Freddie handed him a gun to check the trunk, and he thought of it as a silent order. That really, watching that part was kind of like, I didn't like it, because he was like, oh, it was a silent order. I guess I was just taking a silent order. What? So were you part of a gang? Or like, I don't understand what you're saying here, because I'm sorry, but nobody I'm in a car with is going to give me a silent order if I'm not a follower of theirs. There's no.
What'd she say? They were like his guinea pigs.
She said something about like flies on shit or something.
Yeah.
They knew, you know, he was the drug guy and he could get them the drugs. So right,
so they would do anything for him.
Yeah. They were like his leeches that just latched on. But I don't know. That just didn't sit well. But either way, he took the gun. He claims at this point he felt like it was a silent order, and at that point he wasn't worried about the boys anymore. He was worried about himself. Alive. At some point, or for some reason, he felt like if he didn't do something, he was going to be killed, which I mean could be possible, I don't know, but the way that he proceeds to do these next few things, I don't think it's a fear for your life thing. I think it's you were a part of whatever life that Freddie was living.
Right.
And it went badly. And now you're like, oh, well. But anyway, so he proceeds to open the trunk. The brothers are still alive. He grabs one of the brothers by the head and proceeds to shoot him 2 times in the head. He turns and shoots the other brother twice as well, both in the eyes. Very, very dark. It's not like, you know, it was like, oh, I just knew I had to do this, so I opened the trunk, I closed my eyes, and I shot. Like, no, it wasn't an incident like that. Like, I could see somebody saying, oh, I opened the trunk, and I just closed my eyes and shot. Okay, like, not that that's okay, but I could believe that you felt more fear and felt you had to do, you know, what you had to do to stay alive, whatever, blah, 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 blah. But you
picked up the heads.
You picked up, yeah, you picked up his head and shot this guy twice in the face, both of them. At this point, they dump the bodies on the side of the road, and they go on about their business. Around 6 a.m. January 1st, the call comes in for a double homicide. What I thought about crazy about this was the way that they did the identification. Did you know that?
I know, right?
Did you even know that was possible?
I didn't know the DLC gave you false teeth.
Me neither. Okay, so guys,
fuckers don't need to.
So the way they were able to quickly identify the bodies were, next to one of the bodies was a pair of teeth, a pair of dentures. Now when you think like dentures, I immediately think like, okay, well, you can't identify somebody that because they're dentures.
But you can't, because dentures do have names in them.
Even real dentures? Mm-hmm. Where?
On the inside.
What?
It goes in the part that goes on out there.
Never in my life. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I didn't know that. But then I thought it was really weird because these ones were etched. These ones were etched with the DOC number and a name. So they had the Department of Corrections number as well as his name.
Yep.
So
inmate number. It said DOC, his inmate number, then his name.
Isn't that crazy?
I didn't know that they did. I mean, I knew like that. I don't think all dentures have names on them, but I know a lot of them do, you know, working in the nursing home and everything. But yeah.
That's crazy. I never even knew that was a thing. Nonetheless, a DOC. Mm-hmm. Like, so you have,
know about the DOC,
you have prison ordered dentures? Like, I'm really confused.
Right.
And I kind of want to know more.
I'm really pissed that they get dentures in fucking prison. That part just pisses me the fuck off.
I was waiting. I was going to be like, she's going to be like, do they got to pay for them? They better have to pay for them. Oh Lord.
I mean, I might as well just go live in prison. They get better
than that. No, they don't, bitch. Shut up.
Bitch, I have a tooth that hurts so
bad.
Where
are your chickens?
It's hurting my brain.
Where are your chickens in prison?
Bitch, they let you have dogs.
Well, you're gonna be like your daughter. You gotta find a prison that's gonna let you take a chicken.
I need a tooth pulled. I mean, I go get it pulled. It just ain't gotten pulled yet. But that motherfucker, he go get all his teeth pulled. Then I give him a press. Here's your fake.
Here's your DOC number dentures. That, I thought that was crazy.
DOC issued.
Yes, correct.
So y'all paid like 10, 15, 20,000 to have his teeth pulled out and to give that motherfucker some dentures.
Right.
That's our tax dollars at work there, baby.
Right. Speaking of dentist, I got a letter in the mail and I didn't look at it, whatever. Well, then it's from like 4 months ago and it says on it, final notice from my dentistry. And I'm like, what the hell is this? And it's like, final notice, we will take action, payment due immediately. And I'm like, oh God, how much do I owe? Bitch, it's $10. I'm like, y'all couldn't have called me.
I owe Quest Diagnosis like $1.38.
Y'all couldn't have called me and told me like, hey, pay your $10 bill. Like, I had a freaking
pay. It costs more to fucking have your person fucking print it up, type it.
I'm like, it cost you more to send this. And then the little orange final notice sticker you put on there probably cost you
a quarter.
Oh, Jesus. I was like, are you kidding? I was so scared too. I was like, how much is this? I was like, $10. Anyway, so that's my dentist story. Within.
I'm going to let Quest, I'm going to wait till they try to garnish my check.
Pay him in all pennies.
$1.38, I think, is what it said. You got me fucked up. Hey, says no fucker. That check costs more than $1.38 to fucking print. You got me fucked up.
Oh, Lord. So, within 5 days of the bodies being found, Brandon, Freddie, and Michael were arrested. There was, you know, word on the street that this party happened on New Year's, so naturally it drew attention to it. It drew attention to them, and the investigation just spiraled from there. So within 5 days, they were arrested. Excuse me. The ex-wife, like we talked about, she had stated that Brandon was like overly aggressive that night, and basically that it was like, I mean, I don't know, it was weird because I felt like she just made it seem like it was truly him.
Threw her cousin under that bus.
Yeah, I was like, okay, well, that's crazy.
Right quick.
But they did a couple other interviews with a couple other people. Brandon's older brother, Matt, had basically confirmed, you know, that as a younger child, there was molestation involved. They did an interview with Brandon's now ex-wife, Michelle, the mother of his kids. As we said before,
she did not marry him until he was in jail, right?
Right. So when... it was weird because when they first started talking to her and asking about the history of them, she was like, oh, we stopped contact and talking because of his drug use and blah 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 blah. But when she heard of his arrest,
and her boys hadn't seen him, like, she told him, I'm done, blah blah blah, yeah. my kids ain't gonna see moved, you da, da, da. That's why he moved to Missouri.
Yeah, and he moved to Missouri to whatever, and still no contact.
Right.
But then when she heard of his arrest, she moved herself and the boys,
to Missouri. And yeah. Then married him.
Yeah. And then married him while he was in county jail. I thought that
was... the boys see him.
Thought that was very odd.
Let's see. You can't see them because you do drugs. But you go and kill somebody. Bring them to Missouri.
She just thought he was innocent. She thought,
right, because she didn't know the whole story. Like, this is the first time he's really told the true story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he's never told the true story up until he did the interview with I Am a Killer.
Yes, right.
But still, she wouldn't let her boy see him because he was on drugs.
Right.
But you're in jail and on trial for murder. I'm gonna bring the boys to Missouri. I'm gonna marry you, mm-hmm. and let the boys see.
Yeah. And that was another thing I thought was weird, was like, okay, so did they do the whole marry thing for some reason of a benefit? I mean, was there, she says it was just because she loved him and all this stuff, but I feel like there was something deeper here, whether it had to do with the boys or making him look better as a family man, you know, for the case. I don't know, but I just thought the timing was a little too coincidentally awkward.
Right. No, because you ain't seeing my kids if you're a drug addict. You ain't seeing my kids if you're in trial for murder. Ain't gonna happen.
Right.
I didn't know,
right.
I sure the fuck ain't gonna come across the United States to uproot my babies to come. Mm-mm.
Right. So I don't know, but ultimately, so all three of them were arrested. All three of them were tried and charged and everything. Brandon was tried first. He was being charged with 2 counts of first degree murder. He ultimately stayed silent his entire trial. He did not admit anything. He did not own anything. He did not throw anybody under the bus. He stayed completely silent his trial. Obviously, I mean, he didn't come from money, so he didn't really have that great of representation. He was ultimately found guilty and sentenced to the death penalty, October 10th, 1996. So we're about, what, a year and 6 months later or so?
I remember when it happened.
It happened in January, 1995. So... at that point, he's convicted and given the death penalty. So at that point, Michael is then tried. They did do an interview with him. And I mean, he basically, to me, just seemed like somebody who was not unfamiliar with crime and the system. And he was just oh, I, you know, I own my part of what I did that night, but I didn't kill them.
I didn't do, you know, I didn't do it. I was an accessory to murder or whatever. Da, da, da. See, Gina? See, Gina? You know how you call, you sent me a little message and said you wouldn't, how I wouldn't, what'd she say about our last case? When I said, no, fuck that. I ain't taking murder from, I ain't taking that shit from nobody. Now, yeah, I killed someone for you.
He actually.
But I ain't gonna say I killed someone and not killed someone.
She said, mm-mm.
Bitch, I'm gonna do it before I get in trouble for doing it.
Right. And I thought his was kind of, I don't know though. I do feel like it was fitting though, because he got first degree under legal principle of common purpose, which right. basically just means you he's mean he just as guilty.
I didn't hear you.
Huh?
You cut out there for a second.
Oh. I said I feel like his was fitting though, because he got first degree under legal principle of common purpose. Basically stating that he...
But did he say that he really shot them?
He did. He did.
He did admit to it? Okay.
Yes, he did admit to the stuff that happened inside the garage.
Okay.
But he's like, they were still alive when we had them in the trunk. Like, I did all the shit that I did, but they were still alive. And he was riding with that. And that's what he felt he should have been charged with. Although this all continued to happen and he still went along with dumping the bodies and whatever else happened.
So Freddie really didn't do anything. He just was in the passenger seat, right?
So the story goes. Yes. Yes. So
is that even what Brandon says though?
I mean, yeah, they never ultimately come out and say that Freddie did anything. It was Michael shot up the shop. They went and got Freddie. Freddie told him load him in the trunk and to get the car and bring it around. They did so, and they were driving.
And okay, because I got Freddie and Michael mixed up. That's why I was pissed. So okay, I ain't so pissed no more.
But Brandon says Freddie handed him the gun as basically a silent order. Yeah, so that's where
I don't hear that bullshit.
That's where the whole Freddie situation comes in.
Okay.
Michael was found guilty and sentenced to life without parole in June of 1996.
Right.
So Freddie, however, goes on and agrees to testify against Brandon and Michael in exchange for a second degree murder charge. So he's agreed to testify in exchange for a lesser sentence. I love that his ex-wife even said, Freddie sang like a canary.
She did.
She was
straight up Hoosier.
Oh, I loved her.
But that bit, oh, she had me cracking fuck up.
She said he sang like a bird. I was cracking up laughing. Freddie was facing 30 to 40 years. And by the grace of whatever God they pray to, his family ended up winning the lottery.
In California.
For $34
million. Fucking dollars.
So, needless to say, Freddie is now being supplied with one of the greatest lawyers you could possibly get.
She had his flyer and everything. She just had to show that flyer. You gotta have a lot of money to get him. I mean, that bitch was going. I mean, she kept on saying that lawyer's name like 5 times. She put out that lawyer's name.
Right. She's like, I'm plugging.
Right.
Like, I may need him in the future.
Out in the fucking garage digging through boxes.
Right. Yeah. She
has newspaper clippings of Freddie's family winning the lottery.
Yep. Shoot. Hey, they were married. I wonder, can I get some? But anyway, so he got
the
greatest lawyer around town. At this cost, it actually ended up only getting him 2 10-year sentences. However, he was released after only serving 8.
Time served.
So, yes.
8. That pissed me off. And giving $230,000 to what's his name's children.
Right.
Or to the family to raise what's his name. That kid.
Mm-hmm. So there was a little hidden gem that I'm assuming his fantastic lawyer put in a clause of that Freddie was to pay the victim's children $230,000 in a trust fund.
So the uncle and grandfather could raise them.
Yes. This, however, was unbeknownst to Brian's brother.
Right.
It was Brian's brother who ultimately the money was put into a trust fund. He states that he did not know that by them doing this, that it was giving Freddie a lesser sentence. He says if, you know, had it been presented like that, he would have never agreed to the situation. A lot like you was like, I don't think that you should be able to barter or pick and choose.
First of all, none of that money was Freddie's anyway.
Right.
So he didn't lose nothing.
Nope.
What the fuck did he lose?
Yeah.
He didn't even do half of the fucking 30 years, nor did he do, or the 40 years. He didn't even do half of the 20.
No, yeah, he didn't even do half the 20 that he got. his brother... Brian's brother Gary just basically stated like he would have never agreed to a lesser sentence for taking, you know, for the money. He doesn't think that the money solves, you know, the money doesn't.
No, that doesn't fix anything.
You know, these kids' father was taken away, and just because you give me money to now raise them doesn't take the hurt and pain away of what this whole situation has caused.
Right.
And
I mean, $230,000 ain't shit.
No.
To raise 2 children with, and, you know, trust, I mean, you know, college funds.
Right. I don't know it. Well, I mean, think about it. You're talking for a lifetime of these kids.
Right.
Okay, so say you have a job making $40,000 a year. That's only, you know, what? 8 years of your life to make 200, you know, whatever it is, that's not a lifetime of fucking money that you're offering.
Right.
That's like if they had a 40-hour job for 8 years, not a freaking parent gone for the rest of forever.
Right.
But anyway, so again, like we said, this was kind of a hidden deal that it don't seem like a lot of people even really knew was going on. So in 2011, an appeal court ruled that details of Freddie Lopez's plea deal were unfairly withheld at Brandon's trial. So it was not being said that Freddie was basically doing what he was doing. He was confessing or testifying and paying money to get a lesser sentence. They never presented that in Brandon's trial.
Well, they wouldn't have been able to present it in his trial because it was 10 years prior.
Right.
But
so they ended up granting it, granting the appeal after 15 years of Brandon being on death row.
Right.
And they ended up granting it, and his sentence was reduced to life without parole.
Right.
And when I heard that and thought about it, I was like, I wonder what Heather thinks. Because I'm kind of on the fence.
I'm on the fence because they were all three there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't give a fuck. Michael shot first. Granted, Freddie did supposedly nothing except for hand Brandon the gun. And Brandon went and finished him off. So Michael got life without parole, correct?
Correct.
Then Brandon ended up getting life without parole.
Correct.
Freddie only got 40 years because he rolled.
He only got 20 years. And then only served 8.
No, in the beginning they told him 40, but then it got down to 10 per person. Yes. So that's 20. But they always say, you know, you were there.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all saying that Freddie did hand Brandon the gun, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, and I don't believe, you know, the hidden order or whatever. They all three knew what the fuck they were going to do when they put them two men in the back of the fucking trunk. So my way of looking at it is all three of them cocksuckers should have got what the other one was getting. If Brandon was going to get death, Michael should have got death. Freddie should have got death. If Michael was, you know, and then it went down to why the other two only get, I mean, why the other two get life without parole and Freddie in the first beginning only got 40.
Because money talks.
But bitch, money didn't talk then because he had a fucking public attorney. Money talked later. Yeah. Big time.
I feel like
I don't think it should have been able to be appealed because he came into some money.
Yeah, no, definitely. I feel, so here's what I feel, that Brandon, it's harsh for me to say, I feel like Brandon should have received the death penalty. It's harsh to say that though for a situation where you killed these two men. So I don't know the circumstances of what it really was. So is life without parole fair because they appealed it, whatever? I think so. I would have been okay with the death penalty though for Brandon.
I'd have been okay with death penalty for all three.
Because I feel like what he did rightfully deserved the situation. But I'm okay with the life without parole. Michael, definitely think life without parole. Don't think the death sentence is necessary because I don't think that, I don't know. But I think life without parole is 100% what he deserves. I think Freddie also deserves life without parole.
Yeah, they at least three, all three of them should have at least got life without parole.
Yes.
If they weren't going to do the death. I mean, I had no problem with Brandon getting life. I mean, death. I don't see why Freddie.
Absolutely all three should have got life without parole.
Right.
But however, so Freddie's out.
This is where God don't like ugly.
Yeah. Freddie's out. Michael is still serving life without parole. Brandon, however, it's stated that 10 days after his documentary interviews were conducted, Brandon was diagnosed with liver and stomach. So 10 days after the interviews concluded, he was diagnosed with liver and stomach cancer. And like you said, that's, you know, kind of where karma comes into play. You know, God don't like ugly. And I mean,
that's my comfy fact. God don't like ugly.
I love it. I love it. I mean,
I need that as a tattoo because I say that all the time.
It's true. And I love, I'm sorry, I don't care. I love instant fucking karma. I love to see it. And I think it is the greatest thing ever.
He thought he was doing good because he had finally fucking spoke. He confessed. Yeah. He wasn't being quiet no more. And 10 days later,
I don't think.
Maybe I shouldn't be sad about that, but something might happen to me.
I know, right? That's why I'm like, I don't know. Now, like, I'm just saying, I feel like everything has a purpose or a reason. Like, you were meant for the sentence you were given.
Right.
The system had chosen something different for you, but the big man upstairs still had his plan in motion.
Right.
Like, there was a plan for you. And ultimately, on November 2nd of 2019, Brandon passed away at the South Central Correctional Center at 44 years of age, due to his cancer.
So both those two boys, his two boys, lost their daddy twice.
Yeah.
When she took them away from him because he was on drugs. And then she re-entered them into his life. And then he died from cancer.
Correct, Amanda. Oh, no. Just lost a paper. I don't even know what it was. Oh, but anyway, so that
concludes. So in all honesty, those two kids have been through, I don't want to say in all honesty, but those two kids have been through more than the children of the murdered man.
Yeah, and I feel like, I mean, a lot of that for them could have been avoided. It couldn't be avoided right. The other ones.
Right. Their mother could have avoided that.
I do feel, though, I feel like she was very naive to believe, you know, that.
I never questioned him.
Yeah. And that
he never even knew the real story until he did the fucking interview with I'm a Killer, and she listened to it on a fucking iPod.
Well, and I just feel like in there, he also, you know, he also says that, you know, he apologizes. He thought that he was protecting his family and stuff, like, again, making it seem like, oh, I have to protect my family from who? Freddie? So, they just kept trying to make it seem like Freddie was like this huge kingpin.
Right.
Type situation. But if Freddie was a huge kingpin like that and sold out on y'all, Freddie would be the one that needs to worry about his life. Because if he was that deep into, you know, the life and everything, he's now a snitch. You don't
end up with stitches. And
right. Like, you don't get to just enter the world again. Right. I mean, there has been ones in the past. I can't even think of his name at the top of my head. I would know right off the bat. But snitches don't usually get to just walk the streets. So for Freddie to do what he did and just be like, I'm out. Right. I don't think he was quite the kingpin they want to make him out to be. I think that they were just delinquents.
I think it's funny that he refused to freaking go do an interview with I'm a Killer. His wife was singing like a canary.
He was singing like a bird. Oh my gosh, she said it. And I started cracking laughing. I was dying. But anyhoot, that concludes our case. I don't know where we're going next, what we're doing. We're going to start researching a bunch of stuff again. I got to find the time. Send us some case ideas. Let us know. Oh, we got a really fun reach out of meeting somebody to talk about a case. So we got to eventually set up time to do that. That was pretty freaking exciting.
Kevin! I have to call him out.
Shout out to him. A fairly new listener, and I love it. Yep. I love it when we have like men listeners. And they're like,
I know, right?
I listen to your podcast. I love it. I'm like, fuck yes, you do.
Okay. Let me tell you the whole story. Okay. So what day was it that I called you, baby? I don't remember. I was at Lowe's and this guy, I'm using my, what's that card? Cash App.
Oh, yeah.
A Cash App card. And it says, stay comfy on it. And it has a little skull on it. And it's neon yellow. And this guy's like, oh, my God, I love your card. And I was like, oh, thanks. No, that's my our saying for our podcast. He's like, oh, you do a podcast? And I was like, yeah. And he asked who it was and everything. And he's like, is it on Apple? And I was so, like, excited that he fucking asked. I was just like, yeah, it is.
We are, by the way.
So I get in the car.
Heather calls me. We're on Apple, right? Yeah.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Good. I just told somebody we were on Apple, and I had no idea if we're on Apple.
Well, then, this weekend, the page gets a like, and it's from some networking thing. So I'm freaking trying to call Nikki and Stacy, like, frantically. And Stacy done left her phone over at her grandma's house. Nikki left her phone at her mom's house, and they're, like, running in between the two houses, so I'm trying to video chat. Stacy's husband answers the phone. Nikki's mom answers the phone. I'm like, I need to talk to Stacy and Nikki, like, right now. And they're like, okay. So, you know, we'll make sure they call you. So I'm like, well, let me go look at this. So I go and look, and it's our friend, Key. It's her company that had, like, the page. I didn't even pay attention to the name. So I'm like, y'all, never mind. I thought we was about to be famous. I was so like, man.
If we ever get our lives back to, like, plateau kind of level, we definitely should try to reach out and see what, you know, they can offer, because she's working at a really nice studio and stuff.
I
don't want to go downtown though.
I ain't going.
But yeah, she's doing big things.
I can't even get my ass to your house because I'm so tired.
And, oh, I know.
Well, I'm already in bed normally by now.
Meh.
I know. It's hard being a big girl.
Your big girl panties.
I know.
Better wash them bitches tonight. And yes, I said wash.
Wash. Oh, God, we're going to be in trouble. Especially if my brother listens. He'll be calling us both. It ain't wash. It's wash.
Oh, speaking of your brother.
Which one?
Bird. Well, both of them technically, but anyway, going through stuff, Granny has so many pictures of the boys.
None of me.
No,
I don't think my mama loved me.
There is.
I think they were like, God. You know what,
Heather, stop.
Fuck this.
Stop it. No, that comment right there. I have got to now find this picture again.
What?
There is a picture of your mom holding you, and she's literally sitting there like this fucking child.
Oh, I'm sure.
She has hand on her head and, like, her eyes rolled, and you're just like, mah, crying.
Oh, I'm sure.
I was like, look at Aunt Jan's face. And Stacey was like, oh, that's Heather for sure. Oh, I was dying.
Yep.
But yeah, she's got so many pictures of the boys. I was like, oh wow, we need to, next time we're going through some stuff, there's lots of young pictures of the boys.
Huh.
Yeah.
Birdo with his little afro.
Oh yeah, it was the cutest little thing. I was like, oh, that's Birdo.
Right. Oh my gosh, I have to make an announcement. Yep. I'm gonna be a great aunt.
Really?
Yes.
Tyler or
yes. Tyler's wife Bree is pregnant. That's and I'm going to be a great aunt to a boy. I can't wait. I can't fucking wait. She's due in October, I believe it is.
Oh, and speaking of Tyler and Carlos and them, she also had Carlos and Rhonda's wedding invitation.
Oh.
Wow. Oh God, it was a god awful pink. It was horrible.
Pink.
Yeah, it was like a pastel-y metallic-y pink. It was atrocious. Sorry, Rhonda.
I don't know if I've ever seen it. Because that wasn't their colors. I believe their colors were like burgundy, or was it white and black? I don't remember. That was too many freaking years ago.
The invitation was not pretty. Let's just say that. Anyhoot, I'm starving. I want to go eat, and
I gotta take my butt to bed.
Yeah, and then I gotta go get the little one in the tub.
So y'all will hear this on Wednesday the 9th. I do want to shout out, since we're talking about Granny. Shout out up there. Yeah. Happy birthday. We love you.
Happy birthday. We love you.
Birthday is on St. Patrick's Day the 17th.
Yes, and I know you work, but if you want to come out Thursday, Adam and I are going to do, or I mean Saturday.
Girl, I don't work weekends.
Okay, well, we'll discuss it. Come out Saturday. We're going to do something for Granny's birthday. I think Adam's going to smoke some corned beef.
Okay.
So we'll talk that over. Happy birthday, Granny. We love you.
Love you.
On Snapchat. Oh, dear Lord. Not Snapchat, because I don't know how to use it. Facebook, Murder Shows, Comfy Clothes Podcast. We do have a website with our merchandise, www.murdershowsandcomfyclothes.com. We are on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, Google, and like two other platforms. So just search the name, Murder Shows and Comfy Clothes Podcast. You'll see our little arch logo. For the STL.
Hey.
Yeah, that's all I got. So until next time, guys.
Stay comfy. Don't be murdered.